Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word. Praise God. I feel His presence here today. It's good, good. I mean, I know He's here and He's always here, but I just kind of feel like a big warm kiss from Jesus. It's good, good, good. Well, Cheryl and I are leaving on Tuesday. We're headed to Africa, and after we're in Africa for, I think, 6 days, then we fly to India. And India, who knows, we may still end up in Sri Lanka once we're in India, but it's quite a journey. It's about 15 or 16 days, and I think about three or four of those are just travel. It's just airplanes and terminals and all the stuff that I hate. So I've been saying, Lord, just translate me, skip the whole thing, because I'd rather go minister and come back to my own bed. How many think that'd be awesome, you know? So I'm looking forward to that day. Amen. I'm looking forward to that day where we can travel on Spirit Airlines, not the one in the States, but Holy Ghost Airlines, and that would be much better. But it's going to be such a joy to go there, and I do hope you had a chance. I had somebody emailed me yesterday, somebody from lives up in Uxbridge area, and they saw that we're going to India, and they were given $100 by a group there in the insurance business, and we're given $100 and just were told by the insurance group that they work for, here's $100, go be generous, use that to bless somebody. And so she said, I want to give it to India, and I'm going to add $100 to it myself. And she said, and I challenge you to add $100 to it too. And I went, oh, well, praise Jesus. So I was like, that's really awesome, though. It's wonderful to experience that in Lance, that whole spirit of generosity. It's just a joy for us to go. And we have an amazing work in India. I am so proud of the work in India. And, you know, this is really our orphanage. This isn't just some orphanage. These are our kids. And I'm so glad that Lance is going to hook up with those kids and that he'll be able to build a relationship. And we are going this time to hire somebody who personally works for us and accountable to us, because we want to get more information about the work and be able to communicate more with the work. So we're doing a few job interviews when we get there, and we want to hire some communication specialists to work for us and get us more information, because it's a great work there. But I know Pastor Jacob and his staff, they're really too busy doing what they're doing. And every time I scream, I need information, I said, tell you what, I'll hire somebody ourselves that will work for us and we'll get all the information we need. So pray that the Lord guides us and we get the right person working for us. Can I get a glory to Jesus? Amen. So also, when we're in Africa, I'm one of the keynote speakers there, and the topic they've given me, I didn't know I was a keynote speaker until I registered. They approved, after I sent my registration, they sent me the letter requesting me to come, and then they sent me the letter apparently in July somewhere where I had already said I would come, but I didn't say I would come. Anyway, regardless of all that, I love it. My topic, the whole thing is missional. It's talking about belting the globe, which was our original church's motto when it started in the early 1900s. And they want to go back to that. And it was a miraculous beginning, our church in Wales and the Welsh revival and all those things. And these folks in Africa holding the conference, they want the motto for the conference again, be belting the globe. And I love my topic because my topic is prayer, proclamation, and signs and wonders. So I think that is the only biblical pattern for doing the job. And so I'm so excited that I've got that topic. So pray for me and with me that we will have signs and wonders, that we will have evidence, and the preached word as it goes forward will see a demonstration of God's power and purpose. Amen? So that's going to be next Thursday, this coming Thursday. So it'll be kind of probably early in the morning for you guys right then. I'll be preaching at the conference, all right? So be praying for us, and then Sunday we're preaching in some churches in Africa, and then we're headed off to India. So be praying for us, all right? But what I'm excited about is that I get to go to Africa and tell them stories of healings in Canada. I get to go to Africa and tell them about signs and wonders that are taking place in North America. It's not like there's a lot of people say, we heard a missionary from Africa. They came and said, all kinds of stuff's happening in Africa. Well, I'm going to Africa to tell them all the exciting stuff that's happening in Canada. Amen. So we're gonna get them all excited and stirred up, and we're gonna see some. I'm believing for a radical explosion of God's purpose that's gonna change our international fellowship in a big way. Amen. And I'm saying, God, use me to rip through our whole organization, to change it forever, to set it in a new course and a new journey, to supernaturally expand in every nation of the world for your honor and for your glory. Just a little plan, just a little hope, just a little idea. You know, the word says if you're going to speak, be an oracle of God, right? Be an oracle of God. So we're not going just to give a little pity patty whack and a couple of principles on how to do stuff. We're going to loose an anointing and smear them with a glorious purpose. All right. Okay. My wife says, man, you can talk. So I, you know, when Kristen was at her house, I knew she was hungry. I knew that she was ready, because it's first the natural and then the spiritual, right? And I knew she was hungry, because after we had our cheeseburger, she said, can I have another one? And they were big cheeseburgers. And she says, can I have another cheeseburger? I said, this girl's hungry. You know, so I knew it, right? First the natural, then the spiritual. I said, something's going on here. So I only had one so that she could have two. Oh, now I'm making her feel terrible right up. It was great. It's such an amazing thing, I'll tell you. All right, Proverbs chapter 29. We're going to talk a little about vision today. How many came in and thought, are there a few more chairs in here today, or what's going on? How many kind of thought that, or what's going on? We've been roped off a bunch of the back rows because I wanted you to move up and get a little closer. But, you know, we usually only have 300 chairs in the room, but we've added 150 more. So we've got 450 chairs in the room. So if you look around and go, oh, there's a lot of chairs, that's because we added 150 more chairs today. Amen. Now, how many folks were here when we were still worshiping on the other side? Put your hands up really high. All right. That's awesome. Now, how many remember when we moved over the first service we had on this side? So what happened was we had just finished building the platform, and it was still covered in wood. There was no carpet in the place, and we still hadn't done some of the painting and things. But I thought, what an amazing thing to just bring all the chairs over, and let's just have a service over on this side. Let's just get over here and have a service just to give people a picture of what it's going to look like when we move into the new sanctuary. And, you know, we moved over, and we moved everything over, brought all the chairs, set up some sound, set it all up. And I think I got home about 9:30 at night after we got it all set up, and I sat down on the chair at my desk, and I went, God, I have no idea what to preach on. This has been such a busy week. I don't know what to say. And he just said, cast your net on the other side. And he said it so clearly, it almost knocked me off my chair. Honest to goodness. I just went, wow. And I said, that's in the Bible somewhere. And so I did my computer search, and I found the verse where it's cast your net on the other side. And I went, man, that is good stuff. And I preached on that. I said, it's time. We're going to cast our net on this side. We're going to see harvest. We're going to see increase. We're going to see growth. And then just spontaneously, I said, you know what? We're not going back. I'm not moving these chairs back. I tell you, I haven't had a chance to talk to the elders or nothing, but I'm saying, we're here. We're staying, and that's it. And, you know, before that service was out, I had a call from two people who said, what do you need? You need a little more money? Get the carpet done? Get the stuff done? I go, actually, we do. And right that day, the money came in to take care of the rest of the carpet and get everything done. So Kelly was helping me, John Watt was helping. We were putting out all the chairs, and Kelly said, and I ain't putting these back again. We're leaving them out. I said, that's pretty cool. That's pretty awesome. What do you think? That's just because you don't want to do any work. Is that it? I think it's good. It doesn't look that bad, actually. You know, we got 450 chairs, and don't look so bad in here. So that's pretty good. I want to talk to you kind of quickly today a little bit about just vision again, and share a couple things. So go with me to Proverbs chapter 29. It's up there on the screen. The only problem with putting verses up on the screen is it might tempt you to not go look it up in your Bible. You know, that would be the only thing. It turns you into a spectator, and you're not flipping in your Bible. And, you know, I might just put the references and make you go look again. You know what I mean? How many turn look it up anyways just to make sure the pastor's telling the truth? Good. It's a good thing to do. All right, a few different versions here. Ready? Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish. That's the King James Version. Where there is no vision, the people perish. A great word, vision. That word vision, the New King James changes it to where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. The Amplified Bible says where there is no divine revelation from God. And really that word used in other areas of the Bible is a divine God-originated revelation. So where there's no revelation from God, then it says instead of perish, it says they cast off restraint. And then the NLT says, when people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. They run wild. So vision, the word perish is a word in other places that is translated as being unharnessed or unrestrained or without purpose. So where there's no purpose, where there's no progressive revelation from God, people lose their way. People get careless. It's like where there's no vision, you left the boat untied and you came out in the morning and it's gone someplace because there was no purpose. You didn't care, so you left it untied. It's unharnessed. That whole aspect of unharnessed is like, you know, I got 10 wonderful horses out here in the field, but they're all independent, free spirits, and they're all running around in the field. I could do some incredible things with these 10 horses, but they're all wild and they're completely unrestrained. They're unharnessed. Like we had a Dodge Charger, a Daytona. Actually, Steve bought it off us. But that Dodge Daytona, I went into the store when we the dealership when we were looking at it. I was looking at black or white cars. So they had a black Dodge Charger. It had the Hemi. You know, it had the 360 horsepower engine, all that stuff. But it was nice. It was black on black, black exterior, black leather. And I'm dealing with this guy working on the car, and he looks through the window and he says, "Your wife looks good in that red one." I went, "What red one?" And I go outside, and Cheryl's behind the wheel, and she's all smiles. And I went, "Don't ever do that. If you like the car, tell me, but don't ever sit in it and smile, because then the salesman thinks, we got these people. You just don't do that." I go, "Now I've got to leave and come back in 2 days, because he thinks we're interested." And Cheryl's like, "I am interested." And I was like, "But you know, he told me you got 360 horsepower under that hood, that baby, it's got a Hemi, it's got PosiTrack rear end, and then it's only one of 300 cars that are painted in that paint scheme, and blah, blah, blah." And I'm like, "Who cares? I want a deal, you know." But you know, 300, we call it horsepower, right? Literally horsepower. There were 360 horses under the hood. Man, and it was good because I could do a real easy line lock. When I got home, I actually right in front of the house, bunch of kids playing hockey, road hockey there, and they're going, "Hey, let it go, mister, let it go." And that's all you got to do is ask me once. And so, I mean, I held the brake down a bit and just pounded it, and all 360 horses went boom, and it just smoked out the whole neighborhood. Parents are coming outside going, "What is wrong with you?" And what? Anyways. That's like, but you see, those horses were harnessed. Those horses were under restraint. There was a powerful engine, and then there's a transmission. And so you could deliver the power on purpose, and you could make something happen. You see, if I had a whole bunch of horses, and they're just all running free, I can't do much with that. There's power. There's what you might call potential. But that potential has to be harnessed for it to become usable for us to manifest anything. So we've got to have a purpose. And remember when Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you are weary and heavy laden." He says, "Come and take my yoke." See, sometimes people are weary and bored and frustrated with life because they're not yoked up, because their potential isn't harnessed up with the purpose of God in their life. And if you don't have that vision and you don't have that purpose, you don't know what God created you for and what you're doing, it is really just a big waste of time. You are somebody who has incredible potential, but it's unharnessed, and then sometimes it's unrealized. Amen. How many of you ever said that? "Man, that person got all kinds of potential." You know what? It's sad if it's only potential, because we want it to be harnessed. You know what? We as a church have to have a vision. You see, I got a whole bunch of horsepower in the room today. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, but you know, if we don't have some type of relationship, if we don't come together and gather with some sense of purpose and some sense of destiny, we can all kind of dwell carelessly. Eventually, you could even kind of go, "What am I doing that for?" You could get tired, and you could find other things to do with your Sunday morning because you're not sure why you're here. You're not sure, where are we going? I mean, what are we doing here at Impact Church? What's going on? How many think that's true? You know, you're not here to, we're here because we like Pastor Cheryl and Carl. We're going to hang around, listen to them for a while, you know. That's not why you're here. We literally exist for you. We're here so that every one of you can know exactly what God called you to do. We're here to help you, to serve you, to equip you so that you can realize your destiny, your dreams, everything that you are, so you can be fully satisfied and know that I'm serving the purpose of God and I'm hooked up where God planted me to be everything he called me to be together to realize an incredible purpose of God in this region. Amen. It's a good place to clap, shout, say, "Woohoo!" All right, good, good. All right. So We want to be like that. It's kind of like a river. You know, rivers have boundaries. That's how a body of water turns into a forceful thing. You put it under pressure. You put boundaries there, and it starts to flow. And then you've got a place like Niagara Falls where water is falling. But when you harness that falling water, you can get energy, and you can have all kinds of things. So vision is kind of like that. Vision is something that literally focuses you. It ties you to something, and it gives you purpose to get on with what God wants to do. So Habakkuk 2, verse 2, it says, write the vision and make it plain on tablets. So what is the purpose? What are we doing? Well, it should be plain. Everybody should understand it. It should be written down. We should all be able to run with it. And it literally says, write it down, make it plain, that he may run who reads it. That's incredible. I mean, you ready? I mean, if you're going to run and read something like... So if you're going somewhere, you want it to be plain. You want it to be so clear that the person who is running can read it. The person who is running can engage with it. The person who is running can own that vision and do something with their lives. So we need to understand what that vision is and how to do that. So vision is a little definition. I just wrote it myself this morning. In this context, vision, a specific call to our church, imparted by God, which gives us a mental picture of a preferable future. So we have a vision from God, and that vision drops in our heart, and that vision causes us to get a mental picture on the screen of our spirit. We begin to see something that is desirable, something that we can all embrace, something that we can all agree with and say, yes, that is a preferable future. I will engage myself in that. So that's what vision is. Now, in Matthew 28, 16 to 20, just got a couple of verses there. I'm going to read a bunch of them, but Matthew 28, 16 to 20, it says, now this was after the resurrection, and Jesus has been there teaching about the kingdom for 40 days. He's the resurrected Christ. He's teaching about the kingdom. He's about to depart. All right, he's about to go. It says, then the 11 went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. Listen now, here it is. He's the resurrected Christ. He's been teaching for 40 days with signs, wonders, and evidence of who he is. And here he is about to go. And still, some doubted. I mean, still, even at that place, there's some of that group there that are there, and where he's supposed to be obeying them, tied up with the vision, and yet still, even that group, it says the 11, they're there. Of that 11, there were some still now who doubted in their heart. Now, here's Jesus. How am I going to deal with this? I know some of these guys are doubting. Some of these guys are still not completely hooked up to this. I've got to help them. So what did he do? It says some doubted in their heart, and Jesus came and spoke to them, and he said to them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Listen, I'm going to give you a purpose. Some of you doubt, some of you aren't sure what's going on, but I want to change that doubt, and I want to put you in a posture of purpose and faith. So listen, all authority in heaven and on earth is given to me. And now what I'm loosing you to do, I have the right to do and the authority to do. And I'm going to loose on you a mission and a purpose that I will also empower you to engage. And he said, listen now. He spoke to them. He said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore. Now listen, this is 11 guys. 11 guys in a dusty, dingy little end of the earth in the middle of nowhere. 11 little guys with another guy who was a resurrected dude. He died. We saw him dead, but he's alive. But it's just 11 guys. Fishermen, tax collectors, zealots, people who were basically the scourge, the refuse of society. They're hooked up with this guy. 11 guys standing there talking to him. Some of them doubting in their hearts. And he's saying, I've got all power and all authority. Now listen, go and make disciples of all nations. If I were watching that, if I were overfishing and watching him do that with 11 guys, I'm like, what? Is that guy out of his tree? I knew Peter when he was growing up. What a loser. He just told those 11 dudes, go disciple the nations. Holy moly, that guy is out of his tree. Do you know there's a bigger crowd today? There's more potential in this room than what Jesus was working with right there. But you know what? You know what? Well, on your way home or wherever you go, you're going to pass all kinds of buildings, all kinds of places called churches. And you know what they do in those churches? They do exactly what he said. Preach the Christ. Talk about me. tell people that I am who I said I am. And from that little dingy little place and those 11 little guys, right now, all over the world, there are places of worship where Jesus' name is lifted up. And what he said to those 11 guys on that dingy little mountainside in a place that nobody wanted to be in. I mean, all of the Romans, if you got sent to Galilee or to Judea and that's where you're posted, yuckadoo, don't send me there. Nobody even wanted to be in that area, but God found 11 guys from that area, the planet, and said, you guys are going to change the world. What? But folks, let me tell you this. It's happened. You're going to go home today and you're going to see that word that Jesus spoke was so full of power. And he said, all authority in heaven and on earth is given to me. Go disciple the nations. How awesome is that? And you know, you're here today. All of us are here today because of the obedience of those 11 guys on that little mountainside. Isn't that incredible? And you know what? If God could fulfill that word, how much more can he not fulfill every other word that he's spoken over you? If God can make his church and make his people all over the earth from that little mountainside, how powerful are the words of Jesus Christ to you in every single area of your life? If that promise has been fulfilled and is coming to pass, how much more every other thing he has said to you? Can I get a grunt? All right, let's move on. Got to move on. All right. So impact. What is impact? Impact is the striking of one body against another. It's a collision. It's the power of making a strong and immediate impression. Why do I give you that definition? Because that's the name of our church. We're Impact Church. What does that mean? That means a striking of one body against another. It means a collision. It means the power of making a strong and immediate impression. Now, Cheryl started picking on Kristen, so I might as well just keep on going. But Kristen, I mean, she had no idea. She hadn't even met us before, and she wanders into our backyard because, you know, of some photo shoot, and there she is. And suddenly she collided with a little bit of the Thomas culture, a little bit of the Impact culture, a little bit about what it means to us and how we manifest our faith. And she collided with something and went, and it literally had an impact on her where it's now in a process of changing her life. And now Kristen's coming every Wednesday night going through this discipleship with Cheryl. And I'm like, man, God's awesome. But you know, that's what Impact's all about. It's about people who are in a place where, you know, there's something missing. I don't know quite what it is. And then all of a sudden, they have a collision with you. And then suddenly, there's an immediate impression made that shifts their world forever. You know, I think of Tania. Tania had a collision with some Impact people. And it's completely shifted her world. Completely shifted her world. And it's all because of an impact. I think of so many people in this place today that you are where you are today because of people in this house that have just lived their lives normally out there. And they've had an impact on somebody. And you know, we are Impact. And that's why, as Carly was saying about the fire burning, and you are, I want the fire to go brighter. And I was thinking about the word today that we are the light of the world, and I want the fire to burn brighter because this fire overcomes darkness. And we want this fire to burn bright. And you know what? Light overcoming darkness is so easy, and we are the light of the world. We are the light of. So Impact Church, what's our vision? Here's our vision. You ready? It's real simple. It's transforming lives to impact their world. So we expect after your world has been impacted, that your life has been impacted, and there's a transformation going on in your life, suddenly your life is now impacting the world that you're in. It's not like, well, let's impact Africa now. God, impact Africa. Hallelujah, hallelujah. No, but there's people you work with every day. There's people you go through the drive-thru with every day. There's people you see at Walmart or McDonald's or whatever. There's your neighbors. I mean, there's people all around you that you can have an impact on. And it doesn't mean you have to be somehow overtly weird or creepy. Just be yourself. Just be the light. You know, light overcomes darkness, not by some weird, creepy, here comes the light. It's just, it's on. There it is. There's light. You know, you are the light of the world. And light overcoming darkness is such a powerful thing. So the simple motto is global glory. That's the motto of our church. We are Impact. We are. Anyway, I'm getting carried away. But you know, the motto of our church is global glory. What do you mean global glory? Well, I was really sitting one day in my office, and Cheryl had confronted me in one of our leadership workshops, and I was telling everybody, you got to know your Jerusalem, your Judea, your Samaria, and you got to know those places and where God wants to take you and the realms of influence he wants to take you through. And then you've got to know what your Rome is. You got to know where you're headed. And Paul said, I'm headed to Rome, and you got to know what your Rome is. And then Cheryl, right in the middle of the meeting, said, where's your Rome? And I went, I'm teaching. You don't ask me questions. I mean, you know, and then I realized that, where's your Rome? Oh, and I went back into my office that week and went, where's my Rome? My goodness, where? And I said, where's my progressive vision? Where's my Rome? And then I really felt God say, well, what do you want? And I had a globe on my coffee table in my office, and I looked over and I said, you know, literally, I want it all. Is that all right? And he said, that's not only all right, that's awesome. And I said, really, I can have it all? He said, you can have it all. And so that's where the whole idea of global glory came from. I mean, but you know what? A light that is going to be global, a light that's going to cause glory around the earth, it better shine really bright at home. So we want to be that kind of light, and we do want to be global. And I want to see churches established here, and I want to see churches grow, but I do want to see us build relationships all over the earth. And I'm grateful. I'm so grateful to be able to go to a conference in Africa right now to speak to leaders from all over the world. Literally, I was speaking to leaders that represent millions of believers all over the world. That's pretty cool. Don't you think that's cool? All right. You're so awesome, Pastor. Now, I'm going to give you a little video right now. All right, here's the transition to a little video. Everybody ready? We're going to crank it up. You're going to watch this. On your marks, get set, go. On your marks, get set, go.
I want to give you a little bit of background about what brought us to where we are today. First date we want to look at is 1983.
And that's really important because that's the year that Carl and I got married. And if you need to do the counting or the addition, that was 30 years ago.
Ouch. And then there was 1985.
And that's really important because that's the year that Carly Lynn was born.
Yeah, that was our precious little gift. And then we moved to Toronto. Our careers kind of took us to Toronto. And in 1987...
Dad pushed us off to Bible school.
We were there in Toronto serving my dad, and he decided, hey, it'd be a really good time for you guys to go to Bible school. So we went to Elam Bible Institute just south of Rochester and spent 3 years there. Between my junior and senior year, Pastor Stanley Hammond invited me to come and speak one summer Sunday here in London, Ontario. And while we were here in London, Ontario, it was just a small congregation, mostly seniors, and we didn't feel much for the congregation, but on the Sunday night when I ministered, there's only about 15 or 16 people there, but I shared a gospel message, and you know, three people gave their hearts to Jesus that night. And Pastor Stanley thought that was pretty significant. But when we left town that night, we both turned to each other and we said, you know something? I think I do feel a call to the city of London, Ontario.
Yeah. So we packed everything up and headed to London.
Well, this is 640 Grosvenor Street. Now, this is where Pastor Cheryl and I started our journey as pastors. So this was our first building we pastored in. It's the same congregation, but it was in this building where we pastored. Do you remember, honey? Do you remember all the fun we had here?
Yeah, I remember. This is where Dylan was dedicated as a baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Dylan, still, when we drive by this area, he likes to pop by and see because...
Fond memories.
I mean, I used to bring him to church with me every day and just lock the door and he crawled around under the pews, but some really wonderful fond memories. And we experienced some real accelerated growth in this building. And really after just 2 years, we'd outgrown the place, but a lot of fond memories.
Yes. Great memories.
Great memories. So here it was.
The baptismal tank up in the roof.
The baptismal tank up in the wall was always exciting. And that was where Brian Jeffrey had his famous quote,
"Fear not."
Yeah, and he was the angel and all the kids. But it was good. We had a lot of fun here, but we kind of quickly outgrew this building, and that's when we started our journey down at 220 Adelaide Street North.
Walk in the righteousness. Walk in the righteousness.
yourself comfortable and say, I'm glad you're sitting near me. In 1993, we came down and we looked at this building. I really felt that it was time for us to move into a new phase of ministry. We had kind of outgrown where we were, and we decided that we wanted to locate ourselves where there was the most need, where people were in crisis.
Yeah, we really wanted to be a very missional church. And since we've moved into the community here at Adelaide and Little Simcoe, we've been able to form partnerships with the Crouch Resource Center. We've been able to do community meals, host the food bank, and establish a really great partnership with the Aberdeen School.
So we have been able to realize many of the burdens we felt at that time, and we've had a few transitions here in the building, a few different renovations, and we feel we've pretty much realized what that initial vision was to be down here in the core. And we feel now it's time for us to step into a new phase of what God has for us as Impact Church. And we believe God wants to take us into a bigger realm of influence and a bigger realm of impact.
I just want to read a scripture to you from Isaiah 54, verse 2 and 3. Enlarge the place of your tent, and let the curtains of your habitations be stretched. Spare not, lengthen your cords, and strengthen your stakes. For you will spread abroad to the right and to the left, and your offspring will possess the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited.
We really feel a burden. We feel a call, a specific burden in our own hearts, but we also feel biblically, and we also feel that we have a prophetic mandate that it's time for us to enlarge. It's time for us to stretch. It's time for us to begin to press on and engage the purpose of God in this season of the life of Impact Church.
And so someone might ask, what does that look like? For Pastor Carl and I, we believe we want to have the opportunity to disciple thousands of people. We really want to see multi-campuses take place throughout southwestern Ontario.
We want to also see many nations of the world where we plant new works and impact churches in many places in the world. That means that this vision is large enough to include you. Mm-hmm. And we're grateful for your partnership to get us to where we are now. But we really feel it's time to engage again. It's time to refresh our commitment to the vision God has given us. And together, we're going to experience an incredible breakthrough of God's purpose in our hearts and lives and corporately as a people.
So let's grow the kingdom of God.
Let's grow God's kingdom. You know, this is London, Ontario, and this is our city, and these are all wonderful, fine people. Every one of them needs Jesus. You know, I think there's a whole bunch that are right here in this town that should be filling a whole bunch of those purple chairs out there. And you know, it's time. It feels like it's time. It's time for revival. It's time for harvest. It's time for London. That's what I reckon. It's time for London.
So there you go. It's pretty raw. Our production is improving all the time. But that's Sue Hurley back there. She's the bomb. She's putting together lots of stuff. And I know sometimes people get creepy. They're like, "Where are you guys going then? What are you doing?" We're not going anywhere. We're here. But the reason that we put all of these chairs out is I wanted to fill the place with that's pretty comfortable. 450 chairs is pretty easy. We're allowed to use the parking at Westburn. Our friend across the road, we can use parking there. You know, folks, we can fill this place a couple times on Sunday morning. We can do it, you know. And if we did that, you know, even if comfortably we had 350 a service, that's 600 or 700 adults. We could start a really, really good kids program right away, minister to a whole bunch of kids. But we could develop a group of people that could start gaining some momentum and have incredible influence in this community. And not only that, I want to develop campuses, other campuses here in London, but also other campuses in southwestern Ontario. We've got people in Chatham that they love this church. They come to our meetings, they drive in from all manner of places, and they're like, man, if you guys had a church here, I would go. We have the same in Woodstock. We have the same up north, people in Bruce County and all up there. And I really believe that it is time for us to really take this seriously. It's time for us literally to if we embrace the vision and we all get in this harness together, it's not complicated stuff. You know, just one of us invited somebody to church next week, we're in trouble. You know, and it's really not difficult for us to share our faith and see people one into the kingdom. But, you know, well, there's lots of churches in town. Pastor, there's big churches too. I mean, what do you mean? Well, you know what? The Impact Church mission is to establish a global high-impact church. God bless. I love all the other churches in town. It's all wonderful. But you know, God's given us a mandate, and there's a specific DNA of who we are. There's a specific DNA of, there's not a whole lot of churches that are going hard after signs and wonders. There's not a lot of churches that are going hard after a healing. There's not a lot of places even now where, you know, the charismatic gifts and things like that are even considered or a part of the meeting. And you know what? Who we are and what God has called us to be, there's a lot of people who need who we are. Not only that, though, there is a ton of people out here who just don't even know Jesus, folks. Come on. This isn't about trying to get people from other churches. I mean, God bless all of that. There are lost people surrounding you all day long, and it wouldn't take long to fill this place and have multi-campuses all over southwestern Ontario. And then I see campuses all around the world that are hooking up with us and that we literally are taking serious this whole global glory thing. To establish a global high-impact church that will raise up team ministries. We're not asking you to come and bless Cheryl and I and, oh, let's join their vision. I want you to come because there's something in your heart. We want to raise up people that are a team of people. We want every single person to be self-actualized and involved in ministry. We want to declare the good news of Jesus Christ, but not just a declaration. We don't want to just tell people about Jesus. We want a demonstration of his power and his glory. So we want to be a people where there is... Where you come in and you go, I felt God. Is that weird? But I felt God. Is that strange? But I felt like when I was worshiping, I was in the presence of God. Now, a lot of people go to church and they feel nothing and they think that's okay. I think it's wrong to come to God's house and not have a face-to-face with him. And, you know, we want to be a place where there's a demonstration of all the good news of Jesus Christ. And then this is important, too, in a relevant way. We got to do it in a way that's relevant to our culture, relevant to our communities. And so we want to be a relevant church. But then the last thing that got highlighted is we want people to realize freedom, body, soul, and spirit. We want to see people healed, set free. We want to see them just experience all of the goodness that God has for them. Amen. All right, I'm flying along now. Say, flying along, Pastor. Guy named Cletty Keith. Cletty Keith, he said, a knife cuts because it has a narrow focus. A knife cuts because it has a narrow focus. We as a fellowship have to have a focus. We've got to have a focus and an understanding of who we are. And we're not going to cut through anything. We're not going to realize anything if there isn't a focus. I love Angela Monet. I just love what she said. Those who danced were thought to be quite insane by those who could not hear the music. And we're a group of people, we're a cultured impact church that we hear a certain song, we hear a sound. There's a sound that reverberates in our hearts, and others may look on and say, you seem quite insane. And I'm like, you can't hear the music? I mean, there's something we hear. There's something that pounds in our spirit. There's a song of souls set free and lives transformed that burns in our bellies. And it's something that you may think we're quite insane, but hang around a while and watch the results, because we're dancing to a tune from heaven, and it's glorious. Now, I got another quote right here, and it's from one of my favorite current day theologians, and this is Bill Johnson. Now, listen to this. He said, if I obey out of discipline, if I adjust my insides to what God is saying and doing, that's fine. But when I do it out of passion, and I adjust my outsides, I change everything even outside of me, everything that I come in contact with. When I live out of passion, I'm contagious. When I live out of discipline, I'm admired. I'm not talking about let's all discipline our lives to be little better Christians. I'm talking about let's get passionate about the purpose of God. Let's get passionate about the call of God. Let's set ourselves on fire so that literally that fire impacts the people everywhere we are. We're not called hang around church. We're not called get along church. We're not called barely make an influence church. We literally went way out there and called ourselves Impact Church. That means that we're people who believe every day we are predestined to have collisions with darkness, collisions with hopelessness, collisions with disease, collisions with despair, collisions with people trapped in bondage, collisions that will cause people to experience the goodness of God. Amen. Why not? All right. Here we go. We're flying right along. 1 Corinthians 9:26, New Living Translation. Here's what Paul said. So I run straight to the goal. Say the goal. I run straight to the goal with purpose in every step. I am not like a boxer who misses his punches. I run straight to the goal with purpose in every step. With purpose in every step. What would happen if we, this group of people right here, so identified with a goal, so identified with a dream and a vision, what would happen if every one of us got yoked up together with Jesus and with one another and passionately self-gave ourselves to this and with purpose in every step started to move together? What would happen? Can you get a picture of that? Just look around. Look around at some purple chairs. Go ahead. Look around. There's some purple chairs here. How many like the fact that there's three chairs between you and the person next to you? I kind of like that. I said to Cheryl, if I went to the church where it was all full, I'd go somewhere else. I kind of like three chairs between me and the other folks. How many go to the movies and you hate that there's someone right beside you? I especially hate it when I'm on the airplane and it's full and I'm sitting there like this for 7 hours. But you know what? We want to fill these purple chairs. We want every single one of them to be filled to the top. And you know what? How many know that right now you know somebody? How many know you know somebody needs to be here? You know somebody. I know you do. See, what I love is Kristen. She's already, I do. Picking on Kristen. You know, some of us don't. Some of us are so insulated from even relationships with anybody else, we don't know anybody. And that's sad. You know, we got to know people. You got to take responsibility. Who wants to say, I'm going to take a row, Pastor? Okay, write Carly's name down. Thank you. We got somebody enrolling people. Who else has got a row? Thanks. See that row? See that? You know, that wouldn't take long, would it? Wouldn't take long, would it? Let's give you, going to go through this really, really fast, all right? But here's some things. Here's seven things that are good for everybody, but I'm just going to give them to you really, really fast. But here's seven things that vision will do. And if you got a vision for anything, if you're doing a job and you don't like it, what are you doing? And if you're involved in a course at school and you don't know why, what are you doing? You know, when you really have a vision, when you really know what you're doing and you have purpose in every step, you're going to get things done. Vision will motivate you. If you've really got a vision, it'll motivate you. It'll move you. If you've really got a vision, it'll align your priorities. You know, I've often thought, why would people come to church on Sunday morning? My God. And we're talking about the bus we're sending out, and we've had some students, we're picking up the bus up there, but I was saying to Jeremiah today, truth is, if people are already going to church on Sunday morning, we don't want them anyways. We probably want the Saturday night crowd. Maybe we should start a Saturday night service where we can pick up all the kids before they go out and get drunk. You know, like, let's go after the people who really need Jesus. Let's not compete with the other bus ministry. Let's go for the people who need Jesus, right? But, you know, you'll align your priorities when you got a vision. Suddenly things will shift in your life and you'll change, you know, what you do on Sunday morning. You'll change what you do with your life. You'll change how you approach everything because you're captivated by a vision. Vision will develop your potential. It harnesses you and it develops who you are. Vision creates endurance. It's amazing what you do. We got to do this. This is not optional. This isn't like a Ford. You can get power windows. What I'm involved in right now, it's not an option. It has to be done. And you'll press a little harder. You'll move a little more. You'll give a little more because you believe in the vision. Vision will produce morale. When there's vision and everybody agrees with it, everybody's excited. How many are like, I'm going to church today. Or, I'm going to church today. You don't go, I got to go to church today. You might go, I'm going to church today. It's Sunday. The body's gathering. Whoa, I'm excited. We're going to, I was glad when they said, let's go to the house of the Lord. When there's vision, when there's momentum, man, everybody's excited. Vision increases effectiveness. When you got vision, everything's more effective, and vision enables evaluation. This is important. You see, we set a vision back in last September, and I developed a little team of people, and it's called Team 300. Some of you probably didn't even know a Team 300 existed, but there's a team of people that have been working with me at the church here that we want to have 300 people in this building on a Sunday before the end of 2013, and we started that back in last September, and since then, we've increased to almost 75 to 80 more people in attendance on Sunday morning than we did back then. Now we still got to do some. We got to do some work to get to that 300 on before the end of the year. How many think we could do it? But I'm really proud of this team because they've been working and building some creative ideas and doing some things, and we're still working hard. But you know, this year Team 300 is over, and next year we're starting Team 500. And Team 500 starting right away. And we want Team 500 to fill this place with 500 in a much shorter period of time. Because I believe once we pierce through the 300 threshold, 500 is going to take no time at all. We're going to go boom, bang. And then we're going to be Team 10,000. Because we really want to disciple, you know, at least 10,000 people in southwestern Ontario. We want to see campuses all over southwestern Ontario where there is a fire-breathing, spirit-filled, supernatural, gully-washing revival center all over southwestern Ontario. Where literally people from all over the world are saying, what is going on in southwestern Ontario, and they'll trace it back to this little room, this little group of people who went. We can be an impact. We can touch the world from this little place. Remember Jesus, 11 little dirty, grimy guys? Go disciple the nations? Man, he had a lot of faith to believe that. Well, I don't think it takes much faith to believe that you folks can get around a vision and do something big. Just look at your neighbor and say, there's potential in you. And we get you harnessed up, we could do something big. All right, so let me move on to my last thing. It's last thing. Say last thing, Pastor. All right. Philippians chapter 3, 12 to 14. Just read a part of it. It says, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal. You ready? But one thing I do, forgetting the things that are behind and reaching forward to the things which are ahead, I press toward the goal. But one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind, reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal. But one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind, reaching forward to those things ahead, I press toward the goal. We got to know what the goal is. We got to understand who we are. I'm just trying to really quickly give you a little understanding of the vision of this house and why vision is important. But I just want to look at these three things really quick. You ready? Number one, as I said, focus. A knife cuts because there's a focus. There's an edge. You got to have a focus. We got to have a focus as a church corporately, but you should have a focus. You should understand your gifts and your callings. You should have a focus for what you're called to do and how you're hooked up to the body of Christ. Because you are here. Listen. You know why you're here today? God himself planted you in this fellowship. That's why you're here today. It's not a chance. It's not an accident. You are here today because God himself has said, I want you to partner with Impact Church. I want you to be a part of the body of Christ in that area. And I want you to, and you know, focus. Find out what's going on. What are my gifts? What are my callings? What am I doing? You need to get focused. See, Paul was efficient because one thing I do. Thomas Edison, he said, they say, how do you invent all those things? He says, I set myself to one thing. And I focus on that till I get it done. There was Henry Ford. He told the group of guys, I want you to invent a V8 engine. And they tried and tried and tried, and they came back and said, we can't do it. He said, I didn't ask you if you could do it. I want you to create a V8 engine. And every time they came back and said, we can't do it, he says, again, I didn't ask you, can you do it? I said, do it. And he got a group of engineers to focus on one thing. And sure enough, it's pretty standard today. A lot of us drive around. A V8 engine is pretty standard. But there was somebody who had a vision that this isn't optional. It has to be done. So, you know, when you focus on something, you can get it done. But you got to focus one thing and then forget. Now, forget, you have to forget in two ways. You got to forget the bad stuff. Don't be looking into your past. Who cares about the rubbish? Never let your past shape you, ever. Never let what is under the blood and what is covered, whatever your past, never, ever drag that dead, ugly thing into your future. Is my wife telling me to stop? Is she? That's awesome. All right. Okay, I'm almost done. I'm wrapping up right now. Man, now we've got people. I'm there, Kai. I'm there, buddy. Okay, so forgetting. But also, you know what? You got to forget your victories, too. There's a lot of people who, I've served God really good the last few years, then they rest. Or I've seen people in business who've had a good year in business and went into the next year, got a bit sloppy, and then all of a sudden halfway through the year going, holy cow, this year's not so good. You know what? You got to stay focused. You know, forget that if you want to go on to greater success, you got to forget even your past success. You can't rest in that. You got to move on. So look, forgetting what is behind, and then here's the last thing. Come on. It's time to press on to those things which are ahead. Amen. You know, that's just some straight up good stuff, even for your own personal life. If you want to get some stuff done, if you're not tracking what you want to see or want to realize, maybe it's time to it'll push some things out of the way. Maybe it's time to focus on some one thing. Maybe you're just trying to do too many things. And it's just get focused on the one thing. Get focused on the things important. Get those things done. The peripheral is always trying to suck your energy and take you away from the important. So stay focused on it and forget. Forget the past. Forget your disappointments. Forget all the stuff you hope for, whatever. Don't even let that creep into where you are right now. Because God is going to fulfill his promises for you, and he's going to bring it to a glorious conclusion. But the next thing is, come on, let's exert some energy. Let's press on. Let's forge ahead. I'm asking you, look, let's not be a bunch of wild horses in a corral. Let's hook up together. Let's really do that. I mean, let's really, really get involved in the mission and in the vision of who we are. I mean, don't dwell carelessly and say, it's where I pop in, you know, the odd Sunday. It's where I pay the God bill and kind of hang out a bit. But what would happen if we really, really pressed in to the purpose of God here? Because what God wants us to do, we are stewards of something that is way bigger than what we see. So just turn around again. Look at these chairs. Look. Go ahead. Don't be afraid. Don't be shy. It is vital. There's people out there. I tell you, I was brokenhearted when we were doing that video with Sue, because I actually started to drive down the streets and I'm looking and going, man, I love this city. I love these people. And these folks need Jesus. Come on, stand up with me. Father, we bless you. We love you. We adore you. You're awesome. You're wonderful. You're good. Can you just bow your heads for a minute? Just kind of bow your heads and everybody's praying, all right? Just bow your heads for a second. Everybody's praying. Thank you, Jesus. You know, maybe you're here today. You wandered in. I don't know everybody. But maybe you're here today and you're not a part of the family of God. Or you don't really even know what that means. What does that mean? Like, to be a believer, to be someone who accepts Jesus as your Savior. Well, I can help you with that right now. If you don't know Jesus, I can lead you to Jesus. And I'm not asking you to join Impact Church, be a part of our vision. That's not what I'm saying right now. What I'm saying right now is I can lead you right now into the knowledge of what it is to know Jesus, the wonderful Son of God, and your Heavenly Father as your Lord and your Savior. And it's very simple to do, but I'm going to ask you to do one thing. If that's you and you don't know Jesus, but you want to today, I'm going to simply ask you to raise your hand and I'm going to pray for you. And I'm going to make it really clear when to raise your hand. I'm going to make it really clear. You ready? I'm going to count to three. And when I count to three, you just put up your hand. And when you do that, I'm just simply going to pray with you. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And you're going to be born from above, supernaturally brought into the kingdom of God. So listen now. If that's you, I'm going to count to three and you just throw up your hand. Are you ready? Here we go. One, two, three. Just put up your hand, just like that. Just raise it all the way up. Raise it all the way up. Raise it all the way up. Thank you. Raise it all the way up. I got lights in my eyes. I can't see all the way. Thank you. Thank you. All right, you can put your hands down. That's good. Could you all pray with me? You want to all pray? Heavenly Father, I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Jesus, thank you for dying for me. I thank you that my sins are forgiven and I'm free. Come into my heart, fill me with your Spirit, and I welcome you right now to be my Savior. I thank you that I'm forgiven and I'm free in Jesus' name. Amen. Wow, and if you did that for the first time, I got something to tell you. I got something to tell you. Ready? Past, present, future. You don't have a sin relationship with God anymore. He died for your sin. He died for your sin once and for all. You know, you don't have a sin-conscious relationship with God anymore, but you're a child of God. And your sins are forgiven you. And you are in a relationship born from above. God Almighty is your Father and your God. Jesus is your Savior. And you're filled with the very Spirit of God Himself. And that's good. It really is good. And, you know, you need to talk to somebody. Somebody might come up to you and say, I saw your hand up, and just do some follow-up with you. But it's good to tell somebody, because we don't want to have decision makers. We really want to make disciples. We really want people to have a knowledge of that relationship they just entered into. Well, let me pray for y'all. I'm going to ask those who are ministering today. There may be a few that are here. They're going to pray for people today. Who is that? If you're coming and you're going to be praying for people today, could you come? We we always have ministry at the altar. We always have an opportunity for people to get prayer because, you know, people who come for prayer, you know what happens to them? People who have come up here have been healed of diseases. People who've come up here have got words that help them understand directions, career paths, things like that. People who come up here get relationships restored. They get their lives healed and they get touched. People get met at the altar with God. And we never want to let you not have an opportunity to experience His goodness in